Guess who's here? A fellow UFO and paranormal show host, the one and only Mary Sutherland. Mary, it's good to have you on the show. Who's that with you?
It's my better half, Brad.
How you doing?
Tell us a little bit about the Superstition Mountain trip. She's going to let you go down into the cave, I understand.
Yeah, I am one of these guys that believe in what I see and what I know. So I'll go into the cave and see what I can see. And as far as being scared, it might make me nervous, but it won't scare me.
Now, what do you expect to find? I mean, what have you been told?
Well, actually, I expect to find a cave, and that's about all I'll expect until I see something different.
There have been reports, though, of other things in that cave.
Yes, and from what I understand, it's deep and ways down in there, but I'm only going to go so far. I get thirsty like everybody else.
You mentioned reptilians, Mary. Why do you think it's reptilians?
Well, that is what has been described to me from the people that have been abducted in that area. And we do have a person that is here in Roswell, and he's doing a lecture. And we're to meet him. I'm not going to give his name right at this point in time, but we're going to be meeting him after Roswell days. And he thinks that he knows where this entrance is. Not only is this entrance set up where the reptilians are, but this entrance is supposed to lead to a complete complex underground tunnel system. And it takes you into Carlsbad. It can also take you all the way into South America. So that's how complex it is. So, I mean,
if it's that deep, I understand why you're not going.
Well, the thing is, definitely I'm not going to walk clear back to Carlsbad. That's a long ways.
So,
these abduction reports with the reptilians, have they been pretty scary incidents?
I believe one woman was raped. Some have been beaten. I used to have a publication there called the A.J. Tadler, and we used to have people that came down out of the mountains, old prospectors, that they'd come in, they'd give me stories, and then I would print it in my publication, and they would tell about the little people. So you got to think, the Superstition Mountains got the name Superstitions because of a lot of things that were happening up in those mountains. We've had stories coming to us about the reptilian abductions, but not only that, UFO sightings, little people. There's a warp, a tear in the space-time continuum there, where we've had several different people come to us and say, "Listen, we have walked in into another time." But what we're trying to do is prove, which isn't going to be hard to do either. Prove that there was a pre-existing race of giants that lived on Earth before modern man. And we know of, and I've got a list of all the different places that these giants have been discovered, and their skeletons have been dug up, and the Smithsonian has a big cover-up of these pre-existing giants. And they were actually digging up there, up the grave sites and up the mounds, and putting them on barges. The skeletons put them on barges to take them out into the ocean and dumping them to destroy all evidence of these giants.
Why would they do that?
Because it conflicts with history. It at one point in time in the 1800s, they used to try to get the people to believe that the Native Americans were a subspecies. They didn't have a soul. Which, of course, naturally, if they didn't have an ape-type creature, didn't have a soul, well, then they could be justified to do whatever they wanted to do as far as exterminating the Native American. You know, that's been happening, you know, with other cultures besides the Native American. But the thing is, they wanted the people to believe that that our culture, our modern day man, was the intelligent one, that we evolved from the ape and became, through the evolution process, became more intelligent, more refined. But with a pre-existing, if there was proof of pre-existing race of giants worldwide, yeah, what happened to it, the theory of evolution?
And of course there's some evidence now in northern Africa that there's some skeletons of people with basically craniums about our size.
Yes.
So, I mean, there seems to be all kinds of conflicting evidence there. We're talking Mary Sutherland and BurlingtonNews.net is where you can find her. And, Mary, I know you're going over here to a lecture in a minute, so I'm going to let you go. But before you go, I want to talk about the paranormal stories.
Okay.
You have 15 or 16 that I counted on your website.
Yeah.
What's the most interesting one to you?
Well, believe it or not, the most interesting one to me is my own experience in the Superstition Mountains.
Oh, back to where you're going now. Huh?
Yeah. Superstitions operates on almost like a 33-degree parallel. Is it parallel? But, yeah, parallel.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of time warps there. You know, there's vortexes. So what happened is, have you ever heard the term affrication? Affrication is a phenomenon where things come out of nowhere. It's an invisible world, but that invisible, it's almost like what they say about death now, that when you die, you just to another dimension, and that dimension is as solid as our dimension, third dimension. In affrication, what happens is there's things that come from that dimension into this dimension.
And this happened physical. To you up in Superstition Mountain?
Yeah. It happened.
Well, you're sitting around a campfire and something.
No,
goes
I in my sleep I brought back a rock. I came back with a rock, and it was a quartz rock with veins of silver and gold. I'm not going to go into that one. Will take a long time.
Darn, I'm trying to get a scoop.
The stories that I was getting out of Superstition Mountains were the best. We had people that I knew as honest people that were coming out of the mountain telling me different stories about time warps where they were able to turn around and go into, as they were walking across some sort of a little plane, they walked into another dimension. We have a good friend by the name of Bob Schuss that has Goldfield Ghost Towns out there that actually was out there. He's an old Dutchman hunter, and he was actually up there, and he came across this, there was a cache, a hole in the ground, you know, up in the mountains. He looks down, and there's a conquistador hat. Well, he marked the spot, and then he went back because he didn't have any equipment for digging, because there was a bag, some other various things in there besides the hat. So he turned around, he marked the spot, went back down to get his tools, get some other people to help us so they could excavate the spot. Gets back up there, nothing, totally gone. He contacts, he was so sure of this, he contacted Baranowski, which is known for his past life regression hypnosis, and he got Baranowski. They went out there looking for it, couldn't find anything. They faced that money on helicopters going all over the whole area. But what it was another point in time, you know, through one of these time warps that they have in the superstitions. We also have stories about the little people that when the giants came on Earth. Here we got the giant story again. But when the giants appeared on Earth, the little people went inside, went into the ground, into the mountains, and lived there. And then besides that, the abductions. We're going to go out there dousing. I want to turn around and douse and see what I can find as far as, I want to check out the ley lines out there. And I want to and see if I can find any of these vortexes, any abnormalities, you know, as far as energies. And there's supposed to be a place up there called, what is that called? But Massacre Grounds. It's up at the Massacre Grounds where the Indians attacked a bunch of the Spaniards. But anyhow, everyone was massacred. And there's a place up there that you can actually hear the cries yet today. Of course, it's probably the wind, but, you know, it's still interesting enough to check out. And like I said, though, our main reason for going up there, though, is to check and see if we can't find an entrance to the hollow earth.
And you think you have a good lead for that?
I think I have a good lead. Well, first of all, we were at Dulce last year, and we checked that out. Now, this year, we're going to the Superstitions.
Now, what I have to ask you, what did you think of the Dulce story?
I believe it.
Okay. Well, did you find any evidence of the subterranean?
Oh, yeah, I can tell you a whole story on that one. I haven't had a chance yet to even write it out. We were talking to a bunch of the locals and heard some. Apparently, okay, this is how the story goes. Now, if you've ever been there, it's all flat. But it's, you know how many miles it is from Aztec. Remember, there was a crash in Aztec as well.
Yes.
But certainly from Aztec, you find this whole area of Dulce. And, of course, there's the town, but then we're talking about the whole area.
Yes.
And then you see all these, like, little antennas sticking out, you know, on the ground, you know. You see fine containers. But the thing that most fascinated me was this one gentleman was saying that he went out there to hunt one time. And as soon as he stepped out on that ground, he says, what happens is the locals have made some sort of a deal with the government that they spy. And if you're out there, then they will turn around and they tell the government, next thing you know, you got a military official telling you to get off the property.
Kind of like what happens when you go up to Groom Lake and Area 51.
Yeah, but I mean, they're actually working with the government. Well, I asked, I says, well, how come the locals are working like that? And they says, well, if you notice, this is a very poor community. Their government subsidized here, you know, as far as their income goes. So in exchange for their government subsidy, they play watchdog for the area. Another thing we noticed is there was a dam up there. Dam's totally drained. Why, I have no idea, you know. And another thing I noticed is, you know, like when you're going down the road, you always got this pull-off area. You know, just the gravel.
Sure.
Right, you know, you got your pavement and the gravel, mm-hmm. right? So you can pull off. The Dulce area, you can't pull off. All the way through there's no place to pull off.
So if you have car trouble, you're bad.
If you've got car trouble, you've got to keep it right on the road. You know, no shoulders. And it's all fenced down through there. You can't get out. And it'd take a pretty courageous person to get out there and look for the evidence.
Well, I already sent you the notice for news.
I do, but that was scary.
Okay.
When we went through there, the hair at the back of my neck stood up. I mean, you could feel it. It's just bad. You could feel it, you know.
No.
But, well, we're going back.
I've enjoyed it, Mary.
Oh, you, Jerry.
Okay.
If you would like to write to Jerry Pippin, just address your letter to the Jerry Pippin Talk Show, P.O. Box 800, OK, Oklahoma. Jerry's the only talk show host that not only has an 800 telephone number, but he also has an 800 post office box. That's Jerry Pippin, P.O. Box 800, OK, 74446.